May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying we will be made free? Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" Reformation Sunday returns us to the Gospel of John with this very famous text about the truth setting you free. When I was pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Brooklyn, we had a feeding program for the poor and homeless and lonely. It met every Saturday for 26 years. People who came, and everyone and anyone was welcome. People who came were given a hot meal and two sandwiches to go, which we found at one point that were being sold on the street to make a couple of bucks, but nonetheless, they were given two sandwiches to go for a later meal that day. On one particular Saturday, most everyone had gone. Just a few people were left cleaning up. And I was sitting on the bench in the lobby with one who had come for a meal. And he was talking to me about a sin that he had committed that he did not feel he could ever be forgiven of. It seems that he had an argument with his mother, and he pushed her, and she fell. I presume she hit her head, and she died. I don't exactly know what were the consequences to him for that. But I know that it was something he could not get over. But the Lord spoke through me that day, and I said, "There is nothing that you have ever done for which God cannot forgive you, or which would make God not love you." Now, that kind of statement might provoke tears in some. Just hitting them so in the heart might bring about that kind of reaction. That was not his reaction. He stood up, walked to the men's room, which was all the way down the hall, and from where I was sitting, I could hear that he was throwing up. I had never witnessed that kind of reaction from someone being told they were loved and forgiven. Clearly, This man had been enslaved to his sin and was not experiencing any freedom from it. It is my hope and prayer that ultimately he did. And I think that regurgitation was the beginning of his being able to heal. In our gospel text for today, we're told that Jesus is talking to the Jews who had believed in him. A number of biblical scholars would translate that Judeans rather than Jews, as those were the people he was speaking to. He wasn't in Galilee speaking to the Galileans. He wasn't in Samaria speaking to Samaritans. He was in Judea speaking to Judeans. We're told that they believed in him. But Jesus tells them, you need to continue in my word. You need to continue to believe. You need to continue in the faith. Then you will be my disciples, and you will know truth. And that truth will make you free. The word used here for word is logos, the same word that is used in the very first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that the first chapter of John refers to is Jesus. It is Jesus, the Word, Logos, who spoke creation into being, because he was there in the beginning. And we're told all things were created through him. He was the spoken word of God. He is the spoken word of God, through which we and all things are created. So when Jesus is telling the Judeans to continue in my word, he's telling them to continue a relationship with him. Continue to listen to him. Continue to model their lives after him. And after he is no longer walking on earth, to continue to spread his word. Now they come back with kind of a strange response. They say that they're descendants of Abraham, which they are, and have never been enslaved to anyone. What about Egypt? What about Moses? The man through which God delivered them from slavery. Why are they not mentioning that? Why are they going all the way back to Abraham? They don't understand what he means by being made free. Well, there's different types of freedom. There's freedom from things and freedom for things. We might want to be free from addiction, any kind of addiction. Drugs, booze, gambling, sexual addiction, hate. We might want to be set free from believing that we are unworthy. Well, as sinners, we are unworthy to stand before God. But through Christ's saving work on the cross, we have been made worthy and now are worthy, covered with the blood of Jesus, to stand before God. Sometimes the sins from which we want to be freed are personal, are individual, something that we can't stop doing, as Paul talked about. We want to stop, but we can't. Or something we can just not allow ourselves to get over. But sometimes sin is corporate, and we as a corporate body need freedom from our sin. It could be our church, it could be our community, our city, our nation, our world. There are all manner of corporate sins: racism, sexism, ageism. All manner of sins whereby some people treat other people as less than. But as our second reading for today mentions, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But as Luther taught us, as Christians, we are simul justus et peccator, which is Latin for simultaneously just and sinful. We are always sinners, and we are always saints because of what Jesus did on our behalf. Both and. Always, all the time. So Jesus is trying to convey to the Judeans, everyone who commits a sin is enslaved by that sin. It keeps them in a state of continuing to sin. But by having faith in him, by believing why he came, by believing in the purpose for which he was sent, to redeem the lost sinners. We are also always in a state of grace. Another type of freedom is freedom for. When we are able to acknowledge the free gift of grace that comes through faith in Christ Jesus, we are free for serving others. We are free for forgiving others. We are free for loving others. And hate takes a back seat. We will always be in this tug of war, always sinning, always redeemed. But Jesus tells us the best way to live through it, to work through it, is to continue in our relationship with Christ. To spend time listening to God speak through the Holy Scriptures. To spend time in prayer for ourselves and others. To spend time in prayers of thanksgiving and adoration. To spend time actively helping others. Because when we take the focus off self and we put it on someone else, we experience a kind of freedom that we wouldn't otherwise know. The truth of which Jesus speaks is that our freedom from and our freedom for comes and grows because of the time we spend with Jesus. It comes and grows because of the time we spend together in the body of Christ. It comes and it grows by working for someone other than ourselves, just as Jesus had his saving work on our behalf. We may or may not feel enslaved, but as sinners, there's always something there to trip us up. We may or may not feel like saints, but the word Jesus tells us that by believing in him, we are free, we are loved, and we are forgiven. Both are things that can trip us up. Denial of our sin, or our failure to accept the forgiveness for our sin. Fear is a constant problem with our sin. We're afraid to look less than we are, so we might act superior to others. We are afraid to face God because we know deep down we have betrayed God. But Jesus tells us, no matter the sin, no matter what you're afraid of, no matter what you're afraid to face, the truth is you have been made free. And that enables you, equips you, empowers you to live a Christ-like life in service to others. And that's what will truly give you life, and life in all its abundance. Amen.